This week's parsha is Parshas Toldot. We get to experience, we get to witness the life of Yitzchak Avinu, Isaac, our forefather. We witness the birth of his two sons after he and his wife Rivka had a difficulty conceiving. Ultimately, they have these twins. And then the story, the Torah tells us about Yitzchak having to leave the area because of a famine. He's about to go down to Egypt, but then God tells him, you can't leave the land of Israel. He goes to Gerar. He ends up having issues with the people there. He tells them that his wife Rivka is his sister, and then he has issues with the king taking Rivka, or is about to take Rivka. We start to see a pattern. What's the pattern? We kind of get the sense that Yitzchak is trying to mimic his father's life. And then we see, after his back and forth with the people of Gerar, with the king of Gerar, Yitzchak goes and redigs the wells that his father had dug and that had been filled in by the Plishtim, the Philistines, after Avram had passed away. Torah tells him he goes back to redig these wells. And there's this whole tumult over this. The shepherds, the herdsmen of Gerar, give Yitzchak's herdsmen, the Roe Yitzchak, they're fighting over these wells. One is called Asek, one is called Sitna, and the third one's called Rehovot. So the question is, what is this focus on the wells? What's with the redigging of these wells? So the Ramban is bothered by this. He says in Perek Chavav Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Chaf, and he says, the Torah relates and goes to great lengths about the matter of the wells, even though the story simply understood serves no purpose and doesn't give great honor to Isaac. And furthermore, he and his father made these wells. Like, what? Why are they making these wells? In truth, there is a hidden matter contained in this incident, for it comes to inform a future event. For as a well of water is a hint to the temple, which the offspring of Isaac would build, the temple of God. This is why it mentions a well of flowing water, as it says, a source of flowing water, Hashem. And he called the first one Esek, contention, which alludes to the first temple over which our enemies contended with us, engaging us in many conflicts and wars until they destroyed it. He called the second Sitna, hatred, as a harsher name than the first one. It alludes to the second temple, which is called by that very name, for it's written during the reign of Ahasuerus, at the beginning of his reign, they wrote a hateful accusation against the dwellers of Judah and Jerusalem. And all its days, the enemies were hateful to us until they destroyed it, and we went into a terrible exile from it. This is all the Ramban. And then he called the third well Rehovot, an allusion to the future temple. May it be built speedily in our days. It'll be built without conflict or dispute, and God will expand our borders, as it says, when Hashem will expand your boundaries, which he speaks of a future time. And concerning the third temple, it is written, it broadened and expanded upward. So the idea is that ultimately, at the end of days, we'll experience this incredible expansion and a time of peace where everything, the third Beis HaMikdash, will be rebuilt in a completely different, peaceful way than the first two Bate Mikdash, the first two temples. But still the question is, why is Yitzchak going back and redigging its wells? Why does he have to redig the wells? What Ramban is telling us is that the idea of the wells is somehow this idea of connecting to God. God is the idea of water, of Be'er Mayim Chaim, is a wellspring. It's a dynamic source of water. But the idea of connecting to Hashem somehow through this activity. So why is he so consumed? So many years ago, I heard from Rav Meir Twersky, a beautiful idea. Ramban explains a concept called Ma'ase Avot Simon Labanim, that the actions of the fathers are a sign or a foreshadow of what will happen to the children, to the offspring. So normally we understand that, like the idea, like let's say for example, Avram goes down to Egypt, so too the Jewish people go down to Egypt. And things that occurred to them are a foreshadow of the history of the people. But there's also another idea of Ma'asa Avot Siman Labanim, and that is that there were certain spiritual character traits that our forefathers developed, and they created these character traits that would be necessary for us and our survival, and our spiritual survival. So now we look at this story with Yitzchak. So Yitzchak goes to redig the wells. He goes to reconnect, to reestablish or establish a connection with God. So what's he doing for us? So here he is. He's the child of the greatest people. Avram and Sarah are the greatest people that were in that generation. They were royalty. They discovered God. And they established this new approach that had not been practiced to then. And they had thousands of followers. They were world famous. And they had established this special relationship with God. Comes along their son, says, okay, I'm their son. I'm going to go on their coattails. I don't need to reestablish anything. It suffices for me to be the child of and use that relationship that they've established. And if you think about it, it would be the same. The analogy would be that you have a friendship and your friend is friendly with your child based on your relationship that you have with that person. And that's, there's no question that your relationship definitely creates a connection between your friend and your child. But what happens by third, fourth generation, that initial relationship becomes more and more watered down to the point of where there is no relationship, meaning that the grandchild has no real relationship with that friend. And by the fourth generation, that there's no connection whatsoever. And that's what Yitzhak is coming to help us with. Because he could have said, I have a relationship with God based on my parents' relationship with God. But what he understood is that it was necessary to go and to create his own direct relationship with God. It wouldn't suffice to rely on the connection that his parents had created, but rather he himself had to go and establish his own direct relationship with Hashem. And this is an incredible idea. We can easily sit here after generations and generations of people who have been adherents of Judaism to say, okay, I'm Jewish. I'm going to rely on my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents' relationship with God. I don't need to do anything on my own. I'm born into it, or, you know, that's enough. But Yitzhak comes and he teaches us is that that's not okay. Each and every person has to go, and we have to establish our own direct connection with Hashem. We have to create it. It doesn't, we can't rely on some earlier relationship. We have to go and establish our own direct and personal relationship with Hashem. And I think it's a very powerful idea, and that's what's happening here. It's not some kind of like strange, you know, what's the story here with the wells, but rather Yitzhak Avinu, our forefathers, they spent their lives creating pathways. And when we daven, if you think about it, what do we say? Elokei Avram, Hashem is the God of Avram, he's the God of Isaac, he's the God of Yaakov, of Jacob. Why that? Because each one created and established a pathway. And Yitzchak, many things that he established, but one of the things that he created, he embedded within our Jewish persona, is this idea of the necessity to connect and create our own direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God. And so we should take this lesson to heart. We should realize what a special opportunity it is, but that it takes effort to create and to have direct connections and to have relationships and to establish a relationship. It's not simple, but it's something that's a life's work. But you know, Isaac Yitzchak created this. He established. He put this. It's in our DNA, and he taught us this pathway. And that's something that we each have to do as individuals. We need to realize that whatever our parents and grandparents did or did not do in terms of relationship with Hashem, that's very nice, and we benefit from their incredible lives that they led before us. But at the same time, we have to go out and we have to create that incredible direct connect ourselves. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.